Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I just want to begin by sharing a story with you. As last week, we talked about the three types of friendship, or three types of people in the world. There's three types of people. There's people who are wise, people who are fools, and people who are evil, right? And most of my life, I would say, very much a fool. And some of you know my story. I had a lot of collapsed lungs. I had six. But once I was healthy and getting on track to start the new process of learning how to be healthy, I went to go see my friend in Milwaukee. And we've been friends for over 10 years. But I didn't realize that he was a fool. So what did we do in Milwaukee? We went to the bars. And after drinking a little bit, he found a girl and he completely ditched me. And that just hurt so much because I was just coming out of surgery. He knew I was vulnerable. And I couldn't believe that a quote-unquote friend would choose alcohol and a girl over me. I thought he would have been looking out for me, right? I thought he was a friend, but he was really a fool. But what I lacked was the wisdom to understand that even I was a fool for even thinking about going out and traveling that far when I'm only like a couple months out of surgery. And as I've been looking at, you know, what friends are, one book that I found really helpful is by a writer named C.S. Lewis. Has anyone ever heard of C.S. Lewis? You could raise your hands. Okay. So, oh, sweet. Great. We got some fans. Awesome. He has a book called The Four Loves, and he has some really good insights on friendship that I just want to share with you, because one of his best quotes in this book is he says that friends are useless. You're thinking like what? So, because as soon as I ascribe a use to a friend, they're no longer a friend. Like, we don't use people. Like, I felt used by my friend, quote unquote friend, as we went out to the bars and, you know, he just ditched me. But friends are these people who are remarkable manifestations of God. They resemble God somehow. That's what a true friend is. And I love what the mystics of the church say about friendship and friends. They actually, in the early church, they would call friendship the eighth sacrament. I just love that. They call the friendship the eighth sacrament. And C.S. Lewis, he knew this. There's something special about certain bonds you have with people. And he said, friendship is the greatest of all worldly goods. He says, certainly to me, it's the chief happiness of life. And he said, if I had advice to give to any young man of a place to live sacrifice, would be to sacrifice almost everything to live where friends are near you. There are a lot of us are going to be going home, some of us be sticking around, but we look at our things like, what are we doing to maintain friendship? He also says in this book, he says, friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover that they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which the other does not share, and which till that moment each believed to be his own unique treasure or burden. The typical expression of opening friendship would be something like, he says, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. There's this understanding of I'm not alone. And that's again, that can be a fear for a lot of us as we maybe gain some good friendships over the past school year. Like, what am I going to do? But again, as we're reflecting on this, we're looking at John 15, right? So last week, Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. And he said that greater has no love than, man has no love than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. So again, last week we looked at three types of people. Again, the fool, the wise person, and the evil person. But what does Scripture say about friendship? When we look at what are true friends? In the Old Testament, there's the book of Sirach. And in chapter 6, 14 through 17, it says, Ben Sirach says this. It says, faithful friends are a sturdy shelter. Whoever finds one finds a treasure. Faithful friends are beyond price. No amount can balance their worth. It says, faithful friends are a life-saving medicine. Those who fear God will find them. Those who fear the Lord enjoy stable friendship. Another word for faithful will be trustworthy. That means to be worthy of your trust. Because when you're entering into a friendship with somebody, there's going to be vulnerability. Vulnerability is going to have to happen for it to be a true friendship. Another word for trustworthy is, as we look in our world, what we're all looking for is authenticity. Like, they lead by example before they challenge anything that you do. And if they fail, they repent or they ask for forgiveness. Again, they look at wisdom and humility. Like, authentic friends, just simply by being in their presence, they just make you want to be a better man or a better woman. You can laugh with them. You can be vulnerable with them. You can even disagree with them. And there's no offense taken. But some people, they don't have that. They may think they do, but they really don't. Rather, they find themselves, and a lot of us, we do this, we lower the bar by maybe surrounding ourselves with those people who are evil or who are fools. We allow ourselves to succumb to their again, the ones who are fools, we said last week, the ones who are really, really fun, but they have that you don't respect them. But when we look at friends, one thing I'd encourage you to start asking is what do wise friends ask? What do authentic friends ask? Or what do trustworthy friends ask? Wise friends, authentic friends, trustworthy friends, they never ask, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Wise friends or trustworthy friends or authentic friends, they ask questions like, how can I make this situation better? Or how can I make this place better? Or how can I make this team better or this campus better? And it's not what can I get from the church, it's what can I give to the church. Or for those who are involved in Newman Center, it's not what can I get from the Newman Center, or what can I get from the Focus Missionaries, or what can I get from the interns, or whatever it is, it's what can I give. There's just such a selfishness that's creeped into our culture, and it's poison. Our culture also sees that, especially through like social media, right? It's all about me. It's all about me, and it makes me cave in on myself. But then what I do is I become blinded to other people. You know, wise friends, again, they ask that question, what can I give? And when we have those wise people around us, we also are kept safe from evil people. Proverbs 2, 12 through 15 says, wisdom will save you from evil people. For those whose words are twisted, these men turn from the right way to walk down the wrong paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. One thing that's important as we distinguish what a fool is from a wise person is fools will unintentionally hurt you, but an evil person does it on purpose. And it's important to maybe look at it like this. Think of like three driving lanes. One lane is for wise people, one lane is for foolish people, and one lane is for evil people. And often it's important for us to know that people maybe that do evil things, it's because they're so broken. They've never been healed by the Holy Spirit. They've never been rescued by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And due to that, because they're hurt, you know the saying, hurt people hurt people. Because something maybe bad or even traumatic has happened to them, they even can feel justified by doing evil to other people. And these people are scary, and you have to be very careful with them. They're dangerous, and some of us have them even in our lives. Like, I can remember when I was just starting to discern a call to the priesthood. I'm in these baby stages, and again, I'm in Milwaukee. Milwaukee and I don't get along well. I went with my brother and some of our high school friends, we're all in college now, to a New Year's party, which involved a lot of drinking. And as the night went on, we just began to drink more and drink more. But then someone started to open up to me because they heard I was thinking of being a priest. They told me, I've read the whole Bible. And then the person became very unstable and very emotional. And it was very disturbing. They began to actually scream at us and yell at all of us and just begging us not to leave. Like, it was the alcohol that brought out the demons in this particular person. And then we had to shut the door on the person as we left because they were in such a weird state. Like, we all felt so disturbed and just felt, you could even feel the presence of evil coming out of this person. And it's also important to like say that that would be someone I wouldn't invest my time in, right? So if I know someone who's wise, like, what do I want to do with that person? Like, I want to give them my time. I want to give them more access and more opportunities. But if you know someone who's foolish, you want to give them consequences and boundaries. Some of us are, we have to really grow in having healthy boundaries with others. To say, like, for example, someone's like, hey, I need money. I'm really struggling with money. Can you help me out? Maybe give them a little. But the consequences be like, well, until you get a job, I'm not going to give you any more money. Like, there needs to be some type of accountability to help them grow out of foolishness into wisdom. And what do you give evil people? Nothing but prayer. All you can do is pray for them. Because any time and money or information you give them, they'll eventually use it to harm you. You gave me money. I know you have money. Give me more. And you give them, if you give them your time, they can actually suck you in to whatever evil they're involved in. And we have to be very careful with that. So the encouragement and invitation tonight is to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament this week. Just ask the Lord to reveal to you who are your true friends. Are any of your friends wise? Who are the fools? Is there anyone who is evil in my life that I need to have way better boundaries with? And then just wait and listen for the Lord's response. Because if someone is wise, that's a true friend. And if name comes up that are fools, again, the invitation is to have stronger boundaries with them and to maybe have more of a mentor relationship with them or a professional relationship that would actually have consequences or encourage them to have more responsibility. And some of us, our problem is, and I've had this problem before too, is we have a savior complex because we think we need to save people. Just word to you all, we already have a savior. His name is Jesus, right? Hope you all know that. Because wisdom would remind you to be humble and not to be afraid to refer them to get help. Because if someone's involved in evil, evil people, one thing is they're drowning. And they don't want a lifeguard. And if you try to help them, that doesn't put them in a position to be rescued, but it puts you in harm's way to be drowned. Even right now, just pause to ask yourself, what names are coming to mind of people in your life who are wise, who are foolish, and who are evil? Just pause for a moment and think about that. Because one thing about wise people is if you look at them, they're like a car that gets really good gas mileage. The more you put in, the more you're going to get back. The more you put in, the more you get back. But like foolish people, they get really bad gas mileage. So like so much time. I've given you so much time. I've shed tears over this. And there's just very little progress. But evil people, like the thing is, they get no gas mileage. No matter how much effort you put in, there's no process. Let me see, no progress. And the problem is they simply don't want to change. And that's what I want to talk about is the key for like looking at relationships and discerning relationships, especially friendships, is desire. Like my prayer for each of you would be to pray for the desire to have wise friends. Like if so, like and you want good and wise friends, a good prayer to pray would be, Lord, please bring into my life good and wise friends, and make that a daily prayer. Because God loves to introduce his children to one another, his brothers and sisters to one another, so we can build his kingdom and not get so frustrated. Because the thing is, the God who created the universe, like, he has many people that he wants to introduce you to. And also wise people who can help you figure things out when things are difficult. And that's, again, another thing our world has done. It's, we've caved in on self. I have to figure things out on my own. But again, if you think about that, again, I'm falling into foolishness. The Lord gave us a church. He gave us his body. Because if we look at desire and we look at other people, again, if someone has no want, like that's desire, want to, if they have no want to, they're not going to take any of your advice on the how-tos. Like if someone has no desire and you're giving them advice after advice after advice, it's like taking $100 and flushing it down the toilet. You're wasting your investment. Because it's so important to look at what Jesus did in his life. He found people who were possessed by demons. Again, the Savior, he can do this. But he set them free. He found broken people, he healed them. He found 12 fools who he transformed and didn't abandon and formed them into apostles. Like a few of them had a desire to change. They had the want to. But like Peter, man, you look at that guy, the Lord is constantly working on Peter. But he didn't quit on him. But he also knew that they had to be willing to want to help. To help change the world. Look at today's gospel. Jesus says they must have the gospel proclaimed to them. And that's like one of the biggest problems in our world today is a lot of people have never heard the gospel. You ask anybody, what is the gospel? Most people would say, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or they say, it's the good news. That doesn't transform someone. Like to know that the God of the universe took on flesh to go to war with sin and death to win you and I back because we matter to him and that he knows us by name. He came to rescue just you by name. Like that's the gospel, right? And he actually wanted to give us his spirit as we pray for Pentecost next Sunday. He wanted to give his spirit so we could do his work. So we could do what he did. Because what Jesus wanted to do is he wanted to flip the world upside down. Because if you look at the world right now and just ask yourself, in the past 5 years, has it gotten any better? Or maybe look 10 years ago. Have things gotten better in the past 10 years? And one thing we just see lacking is people who are willing, who have the want to make a difference. We just look at, we point fingers at others. Will you do it? Why don't you do it? But the Lord is looking at each of you by name today, and he calls you friend by name, and he says, come follow me. And never look back. And what he did is he gave his apostles the Holy Spirit because that was what would help them grow in community, to find the outcast, to find those who were broken and transform their lives. So one last quote from this book on the four loves. C.S. Lewis wrote in this book, he said, that friends are people who are staring at the same object. Like for us as disciples of Jesus Christ, like two or more gathered, hopefully we're staring at the Lord. In particular, the Blessed Sacrament. Like Christian friends remind themselves that we're not here by chance, we're here on purpose. Like none of us are a mistake. And we have a mission. Each of you has a mission, and you have a part to play in it. So the invitation is to dig into that, to trust that his grace is sufficient for you in all circumstances, especially as we go into finals week, especially maybe as you go back home or you start a new job this summer. Because it's so important to know who's calling us friends. The God of the universe, Jesus Christ, calls you friend. He said, I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends because I have heard everything from the Father. He knows you by name, Eli. He knows you by name, Leah. He knows you by name, Maggie. He knows you by name, Abraham. He knows you. When we come to know this friend and the invitation he's coming to us, he's giving to us, like, again, it's like, I don't even know why he calls me. Like, the God of the universe who created, God who created the universe, that's 90 plus billion light years across. The one who conquered sin and death, hell and Satan, And the one who rose from the dead and ascended to the Father and poured out his Holy Spirit calls you friend. Tyler, Will, Amelie, he calls you friend. And one thing is that this God, Jesus, loves my company. He loves your company, David, Josh. He loves your company. And we come to know that he loves just simply being with us, and sometimes we don't even know why. Like, that's what a true friend is. They want nothing from you. There's no use, right? When we see that how good he is and a desire grows in us to lay our lives down for others, that's what the church is asking us as we celebrate Ascension Sunday. It also means if I'm going to hold on to that friendship with the Lord, the one who knows me by name, I have to let go of whatever is holding me back. It's trust. It's humility. It's wisdom. Because he gives us to himself again in the Holy Eucharist so humbly. Because he sees something in each of you that is good, that is holy, and has potential to change the world. But again, if we look at ourselves and cave in ourselves, and we don't seek out wise people, we'll fall so quickly and become fools. Even worse, we could fall into evil. As we just close today, I just want to offer you a blessing. Because I don't want you to be like me. Like, don't be like me. Don't be the fool who thought he had friends who would invite him to the bars, and as soon as alcohol is introduced or a girl is introduced, they left. And don't be like me. Like, again, I was the one who wanted to save everyone. But what I lacked was trust and humility. Because if we discern friends, we get to learn that they're useless. Because we don't want to ascribe use to people. It's a very harmful thing. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you send forth your Holy Spirit upon every single person here right now. And please fill them with a spirit of wisdom. And please help them each hear you call them by name. And help them know in a deep way that you love their friendship. You love their company. And help them know that the greatest thing they can do is simply be with you, especially in the Holy Eucharist. And help them find friends that can support them this summer, so whatever traction they made this year may not be put to waste. Especially the way Mother Mary, during this month of May, devoted to you, I ask that you pray for each person here and help them receive the graces they need to be the saints you created them to be. And I make all these prayers in Jesus' name, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.